All right, you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. Good to have you on board. Garda Grania is going to be joining us a little bit later on. And also too, after the next ad break, actually. But also too, we'll have a member of An Garda Síochána that specialises in modified cars. Now, we are heading in towards Rally Weekend, and there's going to be a lot of Gardaí about. There's just no doubt about that. And they are also going to be looking at cars that have been illegally modified. So what is an illegal modification? Maybe you've got a question, actually, in relation to modded cars that it might be useful for me to get an answer for you. I think I'll be able to pick up on most of it, though, just through general chit-chat, but I'd be very interested if you've any questions and I can put them to our guest. A caller says, I need an NCT in August. This morning I thought I'd apply to make sure I had it in time. The first available date for anywhere in Donegal is the 25th of September. What happens if I'm pulled by Gardaí in the meantime? Surely this is a huge failure on behalf of the RSA. Now, when you do book it online anyway, you can join a priority list if your date is outside when your NCT expires. I will say, though, and this is not an urban myth because I've availed of it of a number of occasions, and I don't know why, because this also maybe could talk to a failure by the RSA. If you go on to the RSA website after 12, which I did, in fact, I have an NCT this afternoon, after 12 o'clock. So I'll give you an example. So say it was today that I applied for the NCT, and it wasn't, it was last week, right? So say it was this week when I went on at 6 o'clock in the morning because I woke up and I thought of booking NCT. Now, remember the day previously I tried and I was in the same boat. September was the nearest date possible. But in Letterkenny, because where it suited me, there were about three or four dates for this week, you know, pretending I'm booking it yesterday. And there were times on every single day the following week. Every single day there were times, morning, afternoon and evening. So I'm not really quite sure how it works. I'm not sure if they're being blocked book by car companies. I haven't a clue what's going on, right? But if you go on after 12 o'clock, for some reason, a whole plethora of dates become available to you, and often within the next day or two. And it's not like driving test cancellations where they're updated immediately. They do seem to be updated at midnight. So for your own peace of mind and perhaps even an extended NCT or whatever, I don't know how it works, certainly just go on after 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock is when I went on. I went on at 6, sorry. You definitely will get a date before September, and you'll probably get a date this week, not that you need it. Also, there is a priority thing that you can click that normally means that they'll ensure that you get a date well before the expiration of your NCT. It's too convoluted. It feels like you need to be in the know, which you shouldn't, but rest assured, you can get an NCT before your NCT is due using the measures I've just outlined there. Interesting document which I've been handed here in relation to Senior Letterkenny University Hospital delegation. They're meeting on the surgical hub with Minister Carol McNeill today. My understanding, is it correct, Caroline, that they're not able to make a presentation, that they're having a meeting, but there's no PowerPoint presentation? I presume this document will be handed to her. It's incredibly detailed. We've covered much of what's in this document in the past. I'll post it. We'll post it on our socials, perhaps, because it has been leaked to us, so why not? And the agenda is one, review of the business case for the surgical hub, Sligo. Two, present a case why a surgical hub should be placed in Letterkenny Hospital. I'm hoping to go through this in more detail with someone in the know. But anyway, the opening remarks would have been, by any reasonable and objective measure, LUH stands out as the only logical evidence-based preferred location for a surgical hub. The evidence, population, geography, clinical activity and need, funding, surgical workforce, surgery at imminent risk of collapse. I'll say that again, surgery at imminent risk of collapse. And the RCSI Surgical Hub Clinical Guidance for 23 points out that hubs should be situated on sites that support future geographic alignment to ensure a population-based allocation and equitable access to care in every region. That is from the Surgical Hub's clinical guidance itself. In terms of population, I can't go through this all now, but in terms of population, in 2022, our population, 167,000. In Sligo, 70,000. So that blows that out of the water, doesn't it? So if you look at the health areas, so to speak, so in Sligo, you do have Sligo, Leitrim, South Donegal, West Cavan. They're still at 114,000. We're at 159,000. So by far and away. Also, We're the most deprived region in Ireland. That's by the government's own statistics. We're also 120 kilometres on average. It's the preferred on geography ground because coverage of 120 kilometres from hubs means there's a very strong argument for it to be located here. We win on clinical activity grounds on in terms of births as well. But on funding grounds, just to let you know here briefly, and I won't delay on this too long, but in 2025, Letterkenny University Hospital, 250 million, compared to Sligo University Hospital, sorry, Letterkenny University Hospital, 249 million, compared to Sligo University Hospital, 250 million. But you break that down per patient then, and the funding for Letterkenny University Hospital cost per 100,000 patients, 6,900,000 for Letterkenny, 11,300,000 for Sligo. And even in Mayo, which is comparable in many levels, 7,100,000 euro spend per 100,000 patients, you know, a full 200,000 more than Letterkenny. But compared to Sligo, we're at 6,900,000, Sligo 11,300,000, and on it goes. You know, in terms of Model 3 hospitals, the Mercy Hospital, 15 million per 100,000 patients. Again, Letterkenny, 6,900. That's you, by the way. That's the spend on you, just to be very, very clear. And on it goes. There's a quote here. Unless we actively encourage recruitment, the Model 3 network will be challenged in service delivery in the near future. A service delivery crisis is inevitable unless Model 3 hospital posts are made more attractive. That is a direct quote here. Here's a letter from the LUH clinical director to John Hennessy, who's the regional director of operations, HSE West, a direct quote. Surgical services in Letterkenny are unsustainable and will fail catastrophically within 3 to 5 years if affirmative action is not taken. The failure mechanism will consist of inability to recruit NCHDs and consultants of a standard consistent with higher quality care. So that's from the LUH clinical director to the regional director of operations. So I think that's really quite significant. The regional director of operations, Mr. John Hennessy. LUH had a powerful department of surgery. 2010, 2 days operational a week. That was with 6 permanent surgeons. Now, 2025, between half a day and a day with 3 permanent surgeries. That's a huge drop of 50% or more in just 15 years, which is really, really quite regrettable. And also, just in terms of main theatre lists, let's just go with Mr. Bodner. On the 24th of April, hospital full, no beds, a full cancellation, I believe that reads. The 10th of the 4th, no beds. The 27th of March, there was one day on the 27th of March where a full list of operations were performed. On the 25th of March, the 18th of March, the 13th of March, the half the list went ahead, I believe that stays. That's what that's relating to. 28th of January, no beds. 27th of January, no beds. The 16th of January, half capacity, just time for critical cases was allowed as per management. And on the 2nd of January, a full cancellation due to the winter bug as per management. And on it goes. We've got fewer consultants per 100,000 patients compared to University Hospital Limerick, Sligo, Cork, Tullamore, Connolly, Mercy, Waterford, Galway, Tallaght, St. Vincent's, Beaumont, Mater, St. James. All of those hospitals have more consultants per 1,000 patients than us. And as I say, on and it goes. And unfortunately, I don't believe that's going to be able to be presented to the Health Minister. I don't believe she has time or the inclination. I'm not really quite sure. But I hope she gets that documentation because you talk about decisions need to be evidence-based. Well, there's the evidence. It couldn't be any more stark. And the warnings couldn't be any more stark either. And just to be very, very clear, what this is about your care. So whether it's the care that you are scheduled to have, will that operation go ahead? If you get sick, you know, if you become pregnant? Will all of these services be there into the future? As you age, what kind of care will you get? These professional medics, and in fairness, the politicians, they're fighting to try and ensure that you get the care that you deserve, at least equal to everywhere else. At the moment, you're far, far, far behind. And that's what this is all about. So if you're not in the hospital now, fantastic. If you're feeling well now, fantastic. But please note that this is about the level of care that you may get or are likely to get into the future. Will you have a Model 3 hospital? Will it be downgraded to a regional hospital? Will there be a service collapse? Unless there is action from the HSE, that is what the medical professionals are warning us of. And that affects you in the GP's clinic as well, too, even if you're not going to the hospital right now. Right, so again, we'll talk about that more into the future, but I just want to drive home the importance of this, and this is why there seems to be unity across medicine in Donegal and across the political sphere as well, because it is really that critical.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Yes, indeed. It is the 17th of June. I may have said July earlier, but it's 25 past 10. Community Garda information time, and also, of course, public information time, because a little later on, we're going to be joined by, and in fact, we're joined now by Garda Damien Mulkern's road traffic-related discussion ahead of the rally, and we're going to be talking about modded cars and what have you, Damien. So thank you so much for coming up and joining us.
You're very welcome, Greg.
My focus for now, though, is going to be Garda Grainne Doherty. Hi, Grainne. Great to have you back up again, and we'll kick off with appeals and info. And the first relates to an RTC in Buncrana.
Yes, Gardaí are appealing for witnesses to a collision involving a vehicle and two pedestrians. This occurred at Main Street, Buncrana, on Tuesday the 10th of June, shortly after 11:50am. The driver and the male and female pedestrian, they were all taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive medical treatment. The driver and the male pedestrian didn't suffer any life-threatening injuries. The female pedestrian, however, remains in hospital. She suffered serious but non-life-threatening injuries. We're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed this collision to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932 0540. And again, if anybody travelled in that area with a dash cam on June 10th between 11:45am and midday at Main Street, Buncrana, we're asking them, as always, to make that footage available to us.
Okay, now, road traffic collision being investigated in Derrybeg.
Yes, this collision involved one vehicle. It occurred in the R257 at Stramartin, Derrybeg, on Thursday the 12th of June at approximately 11:18am. So the vehicle involved was travelling from Lunya towards Derrybeg. It left the road and entered a field. The driver and the passenger were taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive medical treatment, and thankfully their injuries are believed to be non-life-threatening in nature. We'd like to hear from anyone who may have witnessed this collision, or again, as always, with all of our appeals, we're interested in dash cam footage. So if anyone was in that area around that time with a dash cam, we're asking them to make that footage available to us. And anybody with any information in relation to this incident should contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
Okay, investigations into a daytime assault at Long Lane in Letterkenny.
Yes, so we're investigating an alleged assault that occurred in the Long Lane area of Letterkenny on Wednesday the 11th of June in and around 3:10pm. A man was at that location when a car pulled in alongside him and three males got out of this car and they proceeded to assault him. He sustained injuries, again, thankfully, none of which are believed to be life-threatening in nature. We're appealing to road users who might have been in that area with a dash cam to make that footage available to us. And again, as you say, it was daytime hours, the middle of the day, so we're very hopeful someone might be able to assist with dash cam footage. So if anybody witnessed this incident either, we're asking them to contact Letterkenny Garda Station on 91 67 100, or, as with all of our appeals today, the Garda Confidential Line can be reached on 1800 666 111.
All right, let's go to the investigation now into a burglary in Carndonagh.
Yes, this burglary occurred at a building site in the area of Barrack Hill, Carndonagh, in the early hours of Wednesday the 11th of June between 3:20am and 3:35am. Damage was caused to the locked entrance gate to gain entry to the site. Two men then entered the site and one man remained in a silver car outside. They left again without causing any further damage because the motion-activated light came on the site. Nothing was stolen, so we're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in the area of Barrack Hill or any of the surrounding areas with a dash cam between the hours of 3am and 4am to please make that footage available to Gardaí. Buncrana Gardaí may be contacted on 932-0540 with any relevant information.
And the advantage there of having security to discourage, potentially, discourage, very useful.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, right, okay. It would appear that this, and I think it's quite a bright light lit the whole site. Yeah. So it would appear.
And
that,
good info. Yeah, that, yeah. Okay. It just goes to show that's why we talk about it. Now, theft of sheep in Kerrykeel.
Yes, we're investigating this report. A theft of sheep from the area of Garrymore, Kerrykeel, between Sunday the 15th of June at 8 p.m. and Monday the 16th at 8 a.m. Two sheep. They're purebred Dutch spotted ewe lambs and they're approximately 6 months old. They were stolen from a garden at the front of a vacant property between those times. So we're appealing to anybody who might have noticed any suspicious activity in that area between those times to get in touch with us. Or if anybody can assist with any relevant information, we're asking them to get in touch with Gardaí in Milford on 915-3060. We have pictures of the stolen animals and we'll post them to our Facebook page later today. And I believe they're here also.
Yeah, those watching it are seeing the pictures right now. Very distinctive, of course. You know, you have a standard view of what a sheep might look at. They're very distinctive wool on them.
Yeah,
brown and white and what have you. Pretty things. Okay, they will be easy spotted, you would hope. Right, gorse fires. You know, whilst we did have a bit of a deluge, the ground was incredibly, incredibly dry. And we've got, you know, drier, warmer weather on the way. Great if you're waiting to bring home the turf, but a nightmare potentially for the threat of gorse fires.
Yeah, and apparently the warm weather's on. I heard Lee asking this morning, where is the sun we've been promised? I think we're all looking at the sky.
But he's quite youthful, I would say about six in his mind sometimes, in that the sun has to be out for it to be warm.
Oh no, poor Lee. We'll get back to the gorse fires. Poor Lee. I'll get myself in trouble here. But yeah, no, look, it's the warm weather's promised. And of course, rally weekend always appears. The weather always seems to pick up for rally weekend. So the warm weather's on the horizon. And we just wish to issue a warning in relation to gorse fires. There have been quite a few gorse fires this year to date. And it's very early in the summer yet. So we're just reminding and urging landowners and members of the public not to engage in activities that could cause these wildfires. And under the Wildlife Acts, it is an offence to cut, grub, burn or destroy any vegetation growing in land not then cultivated between March 1st and August 31st. So landowners and members of the public are urged to be vigilant, report any uncontrolled or unattended fires immediately to the fire service on 999 or 112.
How quickly they can take hold and spread, especially like, say, for instance, we've got warmer weather coming this week, but there's still a stiff breeze, which is just the perfect storm. So whether someone's purposefully lighting stuff on their land, which you've just pointed out, is problematic, or the, you know, a bit of backyard burning or discarding a cigarette or portable barbecues, they generate so much heat out the bottom, and I think sometimes people don't realise that. Yeah. Right, so, and you know, obviously there's a threat to land and wildlife and property, but also it's a massive drain on resources. And we're heading into a busy weekend, and there's going to be lots of people out and about. We'll talk about that in a moment. First, we're going to talk about the Garda Youth Awards.
Yes.
How close are we to the deadline and what's the uptake been like so far?
The 2nd of July, now the nominations have to be in, so I want to issue a quick reminder this week. So the annual Donegal Garda Youth Awards celebrate outstanding young people between the ages of 13 and 21 from across Donegal. So we, in conjunction with Supermax and the Abbey Hotel, recognise that a lot of work is being done by young people in every community across the county. Awards will be considered for nominated young people who by their presence make their communities a better place to live in. So, as we said, the nomination process is open. We're now inviting the public to nominate a young person they know who is committed to making a difference in their community. The deadline for the nominations to be received by us is 12 p.m. on Wednesday, July 2nd. So you can request a nomination form from any Garda station or go to garda.ie and you can download it from there. If you check our Facebook page, there's regular reminders on our page just of how to obtain the form and how to submit it, so you can get full details on there.
Yeah, so it's any young person in your life, you know who they are, who are, you know, maybe even beyond their age, are helping someone or doing something in the community or have an initiative, you know, and we spoke to so many of them that would be very valid nominees on this program, just doing really, really good work and taking an interest in their community or their family or an older relative or whatever it might be. So don't hesitate. Make sure that they get the credit they deserve, because simply by nominating them, it's a very important recognition. And who is to say that they may not then be shortlisted? Full details now to obtain and submit a nomination, as Granny said, are available on the An Garda Síochána Donegal Facebook page. We do things at the last minute, but you still have how long is it? About 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks, time,
right, okay.
Yeah.
And so you've got about a week and 6 days to think about it. And that,
it's not too complex a form. It wouldn't take too long to fill out. And as you mentioned before, that it's very important to make people aware as well that every young person that is nominated will receive recognition. Whether or not they're an overall winner, they'll all be invited to the awards ceremony, and I'm sure you're really looking forward to
it.
Yeah,
I can't wait. Yeah, and you say that with a smile, but I actually am.
It was a great event last year. It was a very enjoyable event.
I love it. To be amongst such amazing young people and proud parents too. Yeah. That was one thing I loved, or guardians or those around them, just the level of pride to see someone important to them being recognised outside of the home or their direct community. So I couldn't encourage people enough. And as you say, you know, can you imagine someone in your life that may, I'll just give an example, maybe they've become the go-to person for granddad who's getting older or something, you know, for them to get a recognition, even just for being nominated, really, really important. It might become a very valuable thing that they hold on to. Right, okay. What a nightmare. Donegal International Rally and Donegal versus Louth, all on over the weekend and on Sunday. It's a police operation. There's obviously extra resources and what have you for the rally, but a lot to manage then for the Donegal v Louth match, given the geography of the county and where the rally is and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'll leave it to you to sort.
To explain, to summarise the full weekend. It's going to be a hectic weekend, you know, for everybody, but it's good too, I suppose. It's good to see the county bustling, you know.
Well, that's it. You know, everyone's coming with money in their pockets.
Exactly, yeah. So we will be out in force this rally, as always, this rally weekend. Gardaí will be applying a zero-tolerance approach in relation to antisocial behaviour, dangerous driving, drink and drug driving, and bad driver behaviour in general. We're urging everyone to keep the race in its place. You know, rally sport is a high-speed sport. It takes place in a controlled environment with all of the necessary protections in place. Every year, a small minority, they appear to have no interest in the rally, they arrive and they drive in a dangerous manner, and by doing so they're risking their own lives, they're risking other road users' lives. So if these people value their licence, then they need to leave the rally driving to the competitors, because they will be stopped and they will be prosecuted. And just something very important here, I want to make all drivers aware this weekend, and all the time really, of legislation regarding the dangerous use of vehicles in any place. I know a few people last year were caught out with this, their cars were seized. So I just want to make people aware this year that under Section 109A of the Road Traffic Act 1961, An Garda Síochána can seize a vehicle which has been used, is being used, or is likely to be used in a dangerous manner in any place, which may be dangerous to people present or likely to be present.
So what are we talking about there? Is that like maybe doing donuts in a car park?
Is that dangerous driving. Okay, yeah. So if you're caught dangerous driving, your car will be seized by Gardaí, and then in order to get your car back, you then have to apply to the judge of the district court to get your car back. All Gardaí policing the rally this weekend will be aware of this legislation. They are aware of it. We're enforcing a zero tolerance policy in relation to the dangerous use of vehicles. And I just happened to remember from last year that there was a few drivers caught out with us on the Friday, the Saturday. Their vehicle was seized. They were on foot for the weekend. And that's it. That's the long and short of it. It's Monday until they can go then and apply to the judge to get their car back. So they spent rally weekend on foot because of their foolish decisions.
But, you know, the guards can't be everywhere. And, you know, the public might say, right, this is happening next to me. I'm 3 kilometres outside Letterkenny and not a guard to be seen, because obviously you can't patrol everywhere, right? Can that be reported, and can they expect, you know, a response?
Of course, yeah. So there is a traffic watch online for them, but you can contact your local station. Now, if you believe that it's a highly dangerous, you know, you can always contact 999 or 112 if it's an emergency. Mm. But contact any of our 24-hour stations here either, you know, Letterkenny, Ballyshannon, Buncrana and Milford. And we are advising members of the public, if anybody observes a vehicle and they believe it's been driven in a dangerous manner over the course of the weekend, contact us. Try your best to get the registration number and the direction of travel. Make us aware, report it to us immediately, and we will act.
And drinking, drug driving too, and particularly, maybe people can and hopefully should be extra cautious with sort of, you know, how long it takes for your body to relieve itself of alcohol. It's very different. My reading is of, you know, cannabis use or even vaping, CBD or whatever it might be. You know, we're catching people every week here with drugs in their system.
Yeah, and I think on Sunday past, just there, we had it on Facebook, even within the space of 4 hours, you know, they had three people arrested in Buncrana and around Buncrana town for the offence of drug driving. And, you know, unfortunately, that seems to be on the rise. And I know last year at the rally, quite a few young people actually approached me the morning after, maybe the Sunday morning or the Saturday morning, and they wanted to know, could we breathalyze them or could we check them in any way? But you can buy kits, you know, in the chemist to check. And look, you know yourself, you know in yourself if you're feeling okay.
I think
you know,
if you have to ask that question, you're either very, 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 very cautious or it's dodgy.
Yeah, well, if you have to ask that question, I think the advice is wait, because you know within yourself that you're not right to drive, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's very important. You've already made the distinction, but to reaffirm it, in that when we talk about the Donegal International Rally, the majority of people are up here to follow the rally. They're out in their stages, and they're loving it. Unfortunately, we attract a group of individuals, and they travel all around the country because they love their cars, right? That will not see so much as a stage of the rally.
Yeah.
You know, and the clinger-ons, and it's unfortunate for the rally because they've got no control over that. But your message to them very clearly is keep the race in its place, and Gardaí will be, there's extra resources, let's just put it like that there, you know.
There will be a lot of extra resources this weekend.
Unmarked cars.
Manpower, unmarked cars, bikes, you know, you name it, it will be there, as it has been with other years, and it's been highly successful. I think the extra bodies on the street and the extra, you know, the extra high-vis jackets on the street, and unfortunately every year, look, it attracts a small number of people and their behaviour leaves a lot to be desired. So any type of disruptive or antisocial behaviour, just getting off the roads for a second, disruptive or antisocial behaviour, that won't be tolerated either. It's highly unfair to the people in the local communities, you know. We're asking parents as well to speak to the youth. A lot of young people come, they don't attend the rally stages, they come into town and they stay about town for the weekend. So if anybody has a young person intending and travelling to the rally this weekend, we're asking them to speak to them about road safety. Like, we talk about it often and we can't stress the importance of it enough. But we know you can't put an old head on young shoulders. They're easily influenced and they tend to take risks. They show off to their friends. So if you have a young person who's travelling here this weekend, talk to them about the dangers of not wearing a seatbelt, about speeding, driving while under the influence, driving dangerously, or even getting into a car with someone else who might be, you know, prone to driving dangerously or driving while under the influence, the dangers involved with that. A number of road closures, temporary road closures, just for the local community as well, and people intending to travel through Letterkenny. There's a number of road closures and they are posted to the Donegal County Council website, their Facebook page. They're also on our own Garda Síochána Donegal Facebook page this weekend. So if anybody is intending to make a trip through Letterkenny this weekend, maybe just check those road closures out in advance.
Look at the Glenties option if that suits as well.
Yeah.
It depends where you are. Would it be worthwhile, do you think, going through the specific advice? You've done that already, haven't you?
Yeah.
But it's some of it's quite local, isn't it? You know, depending where the rally is and all that kind of stuff. But it's all up on the county council.
Well, the local road closures within the town and that, but I know the road closures for the stage and that'll be posted then to the Donegal International Rally, their own Facebook page, you know, for the stages themselves, road closures to the stages. And look, I don't want to sound all doom and gloom. The rally's a great event. It's a family event. It's a fun event every year. It brings so many positives to the county. And as we said earlier, it's great to see the county bustling, you know, with business, people coming into the county and tourists and visitors. And we want to emphasise it is only a very, very small minority of the massive crowd who attend every year who end up getting in bother because of their poor behaviour on and off the roads. So Donegal, its towns and villages, have so much to offer and they're all very much open for business this weekend. As I said earlier, we'll have extra resources. You will see guards, you know, on the streets, on their bicycles, on motorbikes, out in the cars. And we're hoping that everybody who comes up this weekend has a lovely trip. They have a memorable trip, but most of all, that they stay safe. You will see us in the streets. And we do say to people as well, we're there also to help. We're there to have the crack and have a bit of banter with them. We're not there to come down on them like a ton of bricks. You know, every year they come up chatting, and I enjoy the crack, and I'm sure the rest of the guards enjoy the crack and the banter with them in the street. So if anybody needs our advice, needs a bit of help, come over to us, approach us, you know, on the street and have a chat with us. We're not there to spoil the fun. No. We're there to keep people safe and also to engage with them in a positive way over rally weekend.
Yeah. And look, lots of people not from the area to look at yourself, look after yourself when you're out socialising as well, and stay in groups and watch your drink if you leave it down. Just common sense stuff. All right. Yeah. That's Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. We're going to be speaking to Garda Damien Mulkearns about modified cars and just, I suppose, a road traffic related discussion more generally after we take this quick break. It's an extended Community Garda information this week, because we are heading into a very busy week on the roads, and I suppose it's only fair that everybody has as clear information as is possible as what the do's and don'ts are, because, as I say, I don't think either Grainne or Damien are that interested in, you know, making lives people's lives a misery. They're just saying these are the laws that we're charged with enforcing, and a lot of them are designed to keep you safe. Garda Damien Mulkearns, you like your cars yourself too, so you're coming from this from a dual perspective.
I do indeed, Greg. My title is I'm a Garda PSV inspector, so I'm a technical vehicle inspector. I'm a qualified mechanic and engineer, and it's my duty to carry out inspections of vehicles involved in serious and fatal road traffic collisions and vehicles that have been excessively modified and breached the road traffic regulations. So just for everybody's information,
can I,
Greg,
just ask a question in relation to that? I mean, you know, obviously I never would talk about specific instances, but sometimes in your work in assessing, you know, what might be the cause of a collision, does it become obvious that, you know, the suspension wasn't performing as it might, or the shocks weren't performing as it might, or the tires didn't have enough grip, or you know, when you forensically look at it, that is, you do see that as a contributing factor?
I do indeed, Greg. Unfortunately, that's my role. It's to provide answers to the families of people who have been injured and killed in traffic collisions, and present the contributory factors, including the state of the vehicle, the tyres, the suspension, the brakes, whether the person was wearing their seatbelt or not. So that's my specific role in an Garda Síochána. But it also extends out to, you know, say like this rally weekend, where we will have a lot of modified car enthusiasts coming up, you know, visiting the rally, you know, who will have their cars modified to a certain extent, and which is 100% perfectly all right, as long as they don't breach the regulations and that they're safe to be on the road.
How might you know, you lowered your car or made some adjustment to it, how can you determine then if it's compliant? Would that be through an NCT inspection, or do you have to get it separately inspected? Or how does someone know the difference between, you know, what is a legal modification and what might be seen as illegal?
A very good question, Greg. The way to look at it is that all cars are designed to be optimally safe. So when you're changing the features of that vehicle by modifying the vehicle suspension, lowering it down, there is kits that you can get perfectly legal that will do it 100%. But you have to look at the overall picture of the vehicle, you know, that when you're lowering a vehicle, that you're not incurring the tyres to foul on the body and things like that, that your brake lines are safe and that they're not kinked in any way, that you're not putting excessive strain on the steering components of the vehicle and things like that.
Yeah, because one change at one other part of the car could test the tolerance of another part of the
exactly,
vehicle, presumably.
Exactly, Greg, that's it. You know, so you have to, you know, when people modify vehicles, you know, everything might be working perfectly, but wear and tear on that vehicle then as well adds to that. You know, you might get the camber of a wheel is way off and it's rubbing and excessively wearing on the inside, which mightn't be visible to everybody, and which could lead to a blowout on that tyre as well, you know. With regards to, I see vehicles that are so low that the rear axles are rubbing off the ground, which again, you know, if you put that into a scenario of the vehicle travelling at speed, the next thing, the vehicle is in contact with the surface of the road and can cause destabilisation. Exactly.
Too, you know, cars are designed and they're tested in terms of, you know, weight management, occupancy and all that kind of stuff. And maybe it's an occasion that the Lexus comes out of the garage and you end up with four people in it. And, you know, how does that car handle in that situation? Has it been designed for that weight with the modifications that you've made? You know, these are all variables. And unfortunately, We're conversing here on evidence-based stuff. This is not notional,
no,
spool
stuff. Fact.
This is all factual stuff.
Correct. And like, you know, when you're lowering the vehicle suspension and things like that, you're throwing off the geometry of the vehicle. As I said, you're introducing possible tyre fouling on the bottom of the vehicle. You know, strain on the the components, you know. But there's also other modifications with regards to, you know, other things on the things like window tinting on vehicles, you know. Like, it's perfectly not okay to have tinting on the rear windows of a passenger car, but on the front or driver's side and passenger side window, you can only have a certain amount of the tint on that.
And almost remember, I think certainly with the windscreen, there's already an element of tint from the factory, isn't there?
Correct.
Which factors into the overall...
Exactly. And we have at our disposal mobile devices, tint men, which we can test on vehicles on the side of the road to see if the amount of light coming through that is acceptable and or does it breach the regulations. And unfortunately, if it breaches the regulations, you know, you are opening yourself to prosecution if needs be.
And we've seen the TikToks of the on side of the road taking it off.
Exactly. Stuff, you know, so like, and then there's taking the modifications to extreme, which I don't really like to call it modifications, but with regards to people welding the diffs on the rear view on the rear of their vehicles, you know, to allow them to destabilize the rear of the vehicle to do donuts and things like that, you know, that's all well and good in a track situation in a controlled environment, you know, where it's controlled and everybody is safe. But when you're doing that to a vehicle that you have out on the road, and you're combining that with lowered suspension and things like that, you know, you're asking for trouble.
What about exhaust noise?
Exhaust, as you'll hear, the cars coming from miles away this weekend, you know. Ultimately, with regards to the regulation, your vehicle must have a silencer fitted. So any excessively loud exhaust is unfortunately illegal, and people can be prosecuted with regards to that, you know. I'll also comment on the excessive smoky exhaust. Now, I think the term at the reeky cars, you know, that when you press the accelerator, a large puff of dark smoke is coming out through the exhaust, you know, again, a violation of the regulations and isn't allowed, and people can be prosecuted for that.
What about to, you know, if you change your insurance or insure a car, you're asked, is there any modifications? And I'm not sure how religiously people actually answer that question, or how accurately they answer that question. But I mean, if you, I'm not sure what part of the insurance invalidates, but if you don't talk of modifications, it surely compromises your insurance cover. Whether it's third party, I don't know, but certainly
100%. If you modify your car in any way, you must inform your insurance company of that modification. Otherwise, you'll null and void your insurance policy. Just because you have notified your insurance company that I have modified my vehicle by changing the alloy wheels to a different size or whatnot, that doesn't mean to say that that vehicle is safe on the road.
No, I'm just saying, it's another factor. I just think,
exactly,
you get asked that question, and you know, how many people go, oh yes, well, I've lowered it 6 inches and I've changed the wheels and I've welded the diff, you know what I mean?
Correct.
That could invalidate your insurance. What you will see, and I've seen it myself, is some really nice cars coming out of the NCT centre on really quite dodgy wheels. Right, so maybe the timing of the NCT annually is just before the rally. You know, what is the situation there? You know, your car passes the NCT, but then you change stuff about on it.
Well, that's the NCT is just a snapshot of the vehicle that's presented on the day, you know. So to circumvent the regulations and things like that, people might, you know, that have the standard suspension on the vehicle, standard wheels and things like that. The car was successfully passed through the NCT. They'll bring the vehicle
home. But that's not going to pull the wool over your eyes.
No. Okay. We're a long time at this game. Yeah. And that made myself, and there's another couple of vehicle inspectors coming up from other divisions. And plus, we'll have members of the RSA on the road as well, and multi-agency checkpoints. And we will be going through all the vehicles, and we will be finding defects, you know. And some of the defects might be very subtle that people don't realise themselves genuinely haven't think. But when you have your exhaust that you can hear 2 miles away coming, and there's black smoke coming out, and the rear axle of the car is scraping off the ground, the driver of that vehicle is aware of that modification. They're aware that it is dangerous. And as we said, as Grania touched on earlier, Section 109A of the Road Traffic Act, we can seize that vehicle because of it.
And you might have a legal and moral responsibility to do so. 100%. What people might not understand is this is not, you know, you taking along AT and taking it easy. This is what happens if you have to brake. What happens if you have to avoid something? What happens if you, you know what I mean? Or you have to react to another driver. Like, correct. You know, I think people often think this conversation is about them and they go, well, I know. And you don't know what's happening around you either. It's a little bit like distracted driving. You don't know when someone's going
to
pull out.
Nobody goes out to, you know, like people ultimately take huge pride in their cars and young people especially, and they've spent lots of money on their vehicles and have it looking lovely and shined up, washing it, polishing it before the rally, heading up to Donegal. Nobody goes out to have a collision or get hurt over the weekend. You know, but, so we have to stack the odds in their favour that they're driving safe, roadworthy vehicles. Like when they're in their vehicles, you know, they have the radio on, the heat on, nice air freshener and things like that. They get comfortable, get complacent, mm-hmm. and they're in a place of safety.
And you're also buzzing.
Exactly.
You're buzzing.
And then something happens, you know, and I want to prevent that because ultimately, I don't want to be getting a text message at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning thinking I have to be on the side of the road at 6 to go out to a serious collision. Like, ultimately, this is our job, is to keep people safe on the road. It's like Ron said, keep the race in the pace. Just be cognizant of other people on the road. Like, you know,
it's just the last place you want to be heading into with an illegally modified car, Donegal, this weekend. Let's just put it like that, you know.
100%.
All right, then. Is there anything important that we've missed out on, Damien? I think we covered most there, didn't
we? Seatbelts, I have it underlined here. Again, referring back to the collisions, and just wear your seatbelt. You know, like, it's
you've seen the difference.
I've seen the difference. Like
vehicles where the seatbelt was worn and not.
Correct. So just weird.
And you don't ever want to see that.
No.
Listeners. Okay, got a Damien Mulkern. Stay safe out there too. You know,
thank
it's
you.
Not, you're out on foot patrol an awful lot or on bikes or in your vehicles and, you know, you're not guaranteed that you're going to get home safe every evening either. You know, there is a risk there. So we appreciate you taking that risk. God, Grania Doherty, thank you so much. I've never looked at you for so long without you speaking in all my life.
I don't think I've ever sat this way.
Who's next for the conversation? All right, listen, thanks so much, both of you, Damien and Grania. That was Community to God Information. It's going to be available for you on the podcast, on our socials, and on God Issue Connor socials a little later on. And just stay safe. And we're going to have more sort of pre-rally advice for you on the show on Thursday, I believe. Multi-agency convo from the on God Issue Connor again, fire service, PSNI, the rally organisers, etc., etc. They're all on the one page. Keep the race in its place.